Talking about money is hard. People all over the world were taught never to talk about money, politics, sex, or religion in polite company. But on this show, my goal is to remove money from that list. And so I'm excited to bring you 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning from Blind Nil Audio and executive producers Chip and Joanna Gaines. Follow and listen to 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning with me, Carl Richards, wherever you get your podcasts.
Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. This week, there's only room for one republic in music, says Universal. Welcome to Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. I'm Andy Malt. With me is Chris Cook. Hello, Chris.
Hello there.
As ever, we are going to be taking a look back at some of the biggest and most interesting music industry news stories of the last week. A week when we announced the themes for next year's Great Escape Conference.
We did indeed. We did that last week. I'm sure you were all fully paying attention as that announcement went out. And if you weren't, well, unfortunately, that means you failed. Last week was a failure.
Failed the test.
For you. So yeah, Great Escape is going to return in Brighton next May. And there is nothing, literally nothing, that can stop that from happening. I am
bold
embracing
words.
The UK government's strategy of denial will work. So by next May, the entire world is going to be back to normal. It doesn't really matter about the entire world. What matters is that we will be in Brighton. The Great Escape is returning in person. Obviously, we had a fantastic online event this year, but it's going to be great to be back on stage for Great Escape 2022. As always, so much happening on the conference side of that event, including the CMU-presented sessions, which is where we made the announcements last week. As always, we will be presenting three full-day strands as part of the Great Escape Conference. So one on the Wednesday, one on the Thursday, and one on the Friday. And our topics this year are going to be, on the Wednesday, music and education. That's actually a tradition that on the Wednesday we put the focus on education and talent development and how the industry and educators and the wider music community can better support those at the start of their careers, whether that's careers as artists or songwriters or producers or in the business. On the Thursday, music and data. And we're going to be checking out pretty much anything to do with data that has an impact on the music industry. Because, bad news, everybody, the music industry basically is now a data business. Pretty much anything to do with music on the business side, I mean, you could almost argue, is music production becoming a data business?
No.
you don't think that the way we create and produce recorded music is increasingly driven by the data? Would you deny that?
Well, in some cases, yeah, you're probably right.
I did a very interesting panel last week all about AI music, and we were talking about AI music creation. But that's another event. I don't know why I brought that up.
Yeah, stay on topic, especially when you're promoting us.
We're not going to be talking about data in the studio so much because Andy Malt says that data is not impacting on the creative process, even though it's wrong. But what we are going to be looking...
I don't know that that's exactly what I said. I think I ended up agreeing with you, didn't I?
We're going to be looking at the data that gets artists and songwriters paid, the data that will help us fix streaming, the data that allows us to profile both fans and fan bases, the data which drives music marketing in 2021, the data that sits at the heart of ticketing, the data that is allowing the direct-to-fan relationship to be better developed and monetized. All of these things will be discussed over our data strand, what you need to know, what data we need to be creating and accessing, what you do with it to make more money. That's going to be the theme of the second of our strands. And then on the Friday, music and video, everything visual. So two particular themes on the Friday. We'll be looking at sync and the synchronization of music into video and lots of trends in the sync business. What is it that movie studios, gaming companies, TV companies, ad agencies, online creators and influencers, what are they looking for in terms of music? Where are they getting it from? What are those deals looking like? What are the briefs looking like? Lots of trends and information, plus some copyright licensing stuff thrown in there as well. And we'll be looking at all the video content that the music industry now creates as marketing, but also potentially for monetization around the director-fan relationship. Of course, we'll be talking about TikTok, etc. in the middle of all of that. And maybe we will allow across that day, okay, that's a full day of programming, I'm going to allow the word metaverse to be said 3 times over the day. Okay, and we will decide.
We didn't discuss that, and I think that might be too much.
Of all the people taking part in the music and video strand, we will decide which 3 people get to say metaverse. Bearing in mind, I will be saying it in order to slag it off, but that is still one. That's still one of the 3 uses. On the Thursday, we might, although this is where Andy, I think, will really try to intervene, but hey, we may even mention those non-fungible tokens, which we're going to be talking about today on Setlist. So maybe we'll allow 3 mentions of the metaverse on the Friday, one of which will be disparaging, and maybe 7 mentions of NFTs on the Thursday, but 6 will be disparaging and 1 will be pro. So maybe you can come on stage and just rant for 8 minutes and that will get...
I'll just say it 6 times.
So anyway, this is what we announced last week. If you go to the Great Escapes website, click on the conference button on either the homepage or the drop-down menu or whatever, you'll find all the information. We're also actively encouraging people to put speakers forward on any of these topics because I am very much now in programming mode, but I haven't really confirmed anything yet. So you can fill out a form on the website to put either yourself forward or other people who you think have lots of interesting stuff to say, interesting case studies to discuss around the topics.
Especially people who don't normally speak at events.
Yeah.
People who you think need to be heard. Those are the people we want.
Not people like me who speak everywhere. We're bored of people like me. Let's get me off the stage and let's have really interesting people doing really interesting things who you've never seen speak at an event before, but you think they should be on stage. And tell us, because we are actively seeking speakers. And the topics again, music and education, music and data, music and video. That's the Great Escape Conference 2022. But really important, this is not what we're here to talk about this week.
No, later on we will be discussing Tidal's big shift to user-centric royalties. But first, Universal Music has sued the New York-based online investment platform Republic due to its recent launch of a music investment setup which will allow fans to invest in new recordings from their favourite artists and earn a share of future royalties on their releases. The problem, for Universal at least, is that it currently owns a company that invests in artist recordings and then takes a cut of profits. Doesn't cut fans into that, but it is called Republic. And Universal doesn't like that. It thinks that there should be only one Republic in music. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so a quick bit of background here. Republic, this is going to be like when we did the Lady A. episodes. We need like a bell and a horn that we can...
Everyone, have a quick nap, have a cup of coffee and then come back.
So we'll ring a bell when it's Republic, the label, and we'll blow the horn when it's Republic, the investment platform. Unfortunately, we don't have those sound effects. Fancy putting them in the edit, Andy Malt?
No, I really don't.
So,
because I'm bound to get it wrong sometime.
Republic, the investment platform, not the label, moved into music relatively recently by forming a partnership with a company called Opulous, which is a music-centric fintech and NFTs company. So Andy's getting very excited about this because we all know he's really into the non-fungible tokens. So Opulous is a very interesting business that launched early this year. It's been founded by the same people as Ditto Music, one of the big DIY distribution and label services businesses. And what Opulous is doing, well, they're doing various things. But the thing that's got the most press is that they are allowing fans of certain artists, so Lil Pump and Soulja Boy were the first artists to really take part in this via the Republic tie-up.
Republic, the investment platform.
Republic, the investment platform tie-up. Fans can basically put money in, commit money to the recordings, that these artists are going to make, and then in return they will get a cut of future royalties. So it's a way for artists to raise money to fund their recordings and their marketing, other than going to traditional funders of music in the music industry, like, for example, Universal Music and Republic, the label. And then fans get both the warm glow of being involved in funding the music. They get some perks, like some merch stuff or some eventy stuff. I don't know, really. I didn't really look what the perks were. And they get a cut of future royalties made by the recording. Now, really old people listening to this podcast. Do we have old people in our audience?
Yeah, there's some.
Do we have people who've been...
I've seen the stats.
...doing this shit as long as I have? Have we got people who've been around for
longer. I think longer. I mean, right in. If you've been doing it longer than Chris, I'm not going to tell you how long Chris has been doing it. You'll have to guess. But, yeah, if you're old, right in.
If you're old...
that's a weird thing to say, isn't it?
Well, we're kind of, you know, celebrating the old timers. If you are old and you've been doing this for a long time, you might remember that in the early to mid-2000s, various websites launched. And this is what those websites were allowing you to do. As a fan, you could invest in the recordings of your favorite artists, and in return, you would get the warm glow of supporting their creative efforts, and you would get some perks, and you would get a cut of future royalties, and it was going to revolutionize the music industry, because now artists wouldn't have to work with old school labels like Universal Music and Republic, the label. They could now raise money from their fans. And so there were services like Slice the Pie and Bandstocks and the other one. What was the other one? Celaband.
There was another one as well.
There was.
They all went out of business, though.
Yeah. So they all launched in the mid-2000s. Lots of hype, lots of discussion, and then they all basically crashed and burned, and it turned out that that wasn't going to work. So you might be saying, well, hang on a second. If it all failed 15 years ago, why are we doing it again? Well...
Oh, wait, hang on. We're only going back 15 years? I thought you were going to go back further than that when you were pleading to the old people. I remember that.
Well, exactly. So my proof...
Not that long ago.
...that old people remember these things. So that confirms that. So why are we doing this again? Well... Maybe the time is now right. Maybe when the Bandstocks and Celabands of this world launched, they were just too early. It is definitely true that in the 15 years since all of that happened, or maybe not quite 15 years, I can't quite remember when it was, but, you know, probably 15 years. When would that take us back to? I guess
it's not 15 years.
2006, 2007, maybe it was a little bit later than that. We probably should have researched that before we went on.
They probably launched 15 years ago and then they went out of business. Well, they obviously went out of business more recently than that.
But anyway, the point is that since all of that happened, DIY distribution, label services, companies like Ditto have become a much bigger deal. Many more artists are using those services, and not just bedroom artists who are making records as a hobby on the side. There are plenty of artists, usually in partnership with savvy management, who go the sort of distribution label services route to get their music out there. So maybe some of the other stuff that labels do, which artists definitely need. Whereas when the original fan funding platforms launched, those were harder to access. Maybe that's all now readily available. So the world is now ready for these fan funding platforms. Plus, of course, here's the bit that Andy gets excited about. With Opulous, all of this is powered by the blockchain and NFTs, because all of this is stuck on the blockchain, and then the royalty shares will be documented and the money will all flow, and it's all magnificent and it's all exciting. It's the future of music. And some people would argue that this time, this is what people argued back in the mid-2000s, I should add, but this time, with this new option to go and raise money from your fan base, with label services and distribution layered on top, maybe this will make it even easier for artists to go big on their recordings without having to work with an old school, rights grabbing, revenue squeezing major record company like, for example, Universal Music's Republic Records.
So in its pitch to anyone who wants to invest in new recordings by artists like Lil Pump, the Republic Investment Platform, as well as talking up how those investors will get a cut of future royalties and some of those perks that you talked about, it also assures those spending money with the service that by directly funding artists, they are helping to, and I quote, fix a record industry that pays creators only 12% of the revenues they generate. Now, while Universal would get annoyed by anyone using the Republic name in recorded music, you can see how this one cuts a little bit closer to the bone. Now, Universal didn't set up Republic Records. It launched in 1995, but it did acquire it in 2000. So it's a long-standing Universal label. And among the things it owns as part of that big Republic package is the trademark in the name. So when Universal sued earlier this month, it was a trademark infringement lawsuit that it went for. It said that it had already sent a cease and desist to the Republic investment platform as soon as that partnership with Opulous was announced in October. Initially, it says, Republic, the investment platform's lawyers, seemed keen to reach some sort of settlement, but then those talks ground to a halt. It says in the lawsuit, Universal brings this action to stop Republic, the investment platform's wanton effort to usurp plaintiff's Republic name and trademarks for itself in connection with new music-related services that defendant recently launched under the names Republic and or Republic Music. According to defendant, it goes on, its new Republic-branded services allow fans to invest in their favourite artists' songs and earn returns from streaming royalties for those songs. This investment in turn also gives fans access to music, tickets, artist merchandise and other special events, all things that are typically associated with a record label. Indeed, defendant advertises its new Republic branded music services as the record label of the future, promising artists that the fans are your new record label. If defendant delivers on this promise, then the artists, labels, managers, agents and fans who currently know of only plaintiff's Republic label would be presented with two different companies offering identical services under identical names in the same industry. Confusion is inevitable.
And just in case anybody is thinking that this confusion has been imagined by Universal Music and Republic, the label. I mean, I think this podcast has proven that it is quite confusing. But the lawsuit from Universal continued. In the short time since defendant, that's Republic, the investment platform, announced the launch of its music-related services offered under the defendant's Republic marks, there have already been instances, they say, of actual confusion among members of the public and industry professionals who mistakenly believed that there was an association between plaintiff and defendant. If defendant's use is not stopped, there will no doubt be further instances of confusion. Yeah, I think there probably will be.
Yeah. But you might say, hey, this new music investment service from Republic, the investment platform, is really... it's about NFTs at the end of the day. It's an NFT thing. It's not really trying to be a label. It's all about helping artists get into cool, unique, weird, rubbish, pointless digital stuff on the internet that will probably die a death quite soon. But even if they were to say that, Universal has an answer. Because Universal's Republic Records is all about the NFTs. All about them. Always has been. Or at least will be very soon. The lawsuit goes on. Universal Music is also expanding into the non-fungible token space. The company is in talks with leading innovators in the NFT space to sell unique artwork, music, and content associated with all the labels under the Universal Music Group umbrella, including Republic. And with all that in mind, Universal would quite like a court order stopping Republic, the investment service, from using the Republic brand in music. And, obviously, a few damages if there's any going spare.
And presumably they would also like Republic, the investment platform, to note that in that quote you just read out that not only is Republic the label planning on doing some NFT nonsense, so are all the labels in the Universal Music Group. So if Republic, the investment platform, is listening, don't be thinking, oh, well, if we can't be a Republic in the investment NFT space, maybe we could be an island in the investment NFT space. Nope, that doesn't work. Maybe you'd say, well, we and all the artists, we're new at this. This is a new thing, so maybe we could be the Virgin platform. No, you can't do that. You can't have the Virgin platform. Maybe whatever labels are there in the Universal Group.
They could say NFTs are a bit like cards in a way. So they could have a Deca card. You can't have Deca.
No.
Grasping a bit here, we're running out.
That's not going to work. If you are planning on developing your website so that on the homepage there's a stick with me on this, there's a picture of a door that you go through, and then you have a sort of a virtual character who meets you called Polly to introduce no, Polydor's not going to work either. All of these are off the table for Republic, the investment platform, assuming that the American courts are up for enforcing the Republic, the label, trademarks in this case. It remains to be seen what happens and whether or not they do rebrand this service, or do they just say, screw Universal, we don't care. We're about smashing the old timers and we're going to plow on. I assume that would not be what they would say. But we will see.
We certainly will. Maybe they'll move on to other major labels, or maybe they will be successful really quickly and put Universal out of business, and then it won't matter. I mean, that's going to happen quite quickly. But who knows? I'm sure we will find out in the coming months. And finally, on this edition of Setlist, the streaming service Tidal had a little bit of a spruce up and moved things around a little bit, because obviously no one was there, so there was space to get furniture out and put it in different places. And what I mean by that is that it's launched a free version of its service, only in the US. It is making high quality audio, which was its USP since it launched, albeit only for people willing to pay $20 a month for the service. But that high quality audio is now available for anyone who's on the standard $10 a month subscription tier. So what does that mean for people still paying $20 a month? Well, it means a whole load of stuff, because that service is now being rebranded as Tidal Hi-Fi Plus, and it will come with even better high quality audio, high quality, and it will have all that stuff like Dolby Atmos, Sony 360, all of those top end high quality audio bits and pieces that, I don't know, are people interested in those? Someone must be.
I reckon 17 people are definitely interested in those, which is probably the 17 people who were paying for the $20 a month package already on Tidal.
But there are more changes coming to that $20 a month subscription, and those mainly focus on how the artists who those people listen to will be paid.
Yeah, and it was that latter change that Tidal announced last week that was definitely the most interesting and which got most people talking. Because in a way, the fact that they're going to make higher quality audio available to everybody, that seemed inevitable, because both Apple and Amazon have started making the higher quality audio part of the standard $10 a month package. So it seemed untenable that Tidal could continue to charge double to get the higher quality audio. So that kind of seemed inevitable. So that wasn't a surprise. The free service in the US, that is sort of interesting. But yeah, the two big announcements linked to this Hi-Fi Plus, the $20 a month package, beyond the extra super, super high quality audio, relates to how artists are going to get paid. And this is Tidal sort of partly capitalizing on the whole fixed streaming debate around how artists do or don't get paid when their music is streamed. And also, given that there is still a bit of a Jay-Z connection at Tidal, even though Jay-Z did sell most of the business to Square, the fintech company set up by Twitter's Jack Dorsey earlier this year. But there's still a Jay-Z connection, and obviously when Jay-Z bought Tidal back in the day, he very much made this big deal about how it was going to be the artist-friendly streaming service and the artist-centric streaming service. And so that's what Tidal are sort of trying to achieve with these two other announcements. So let me quickly explain what they were. First of all, Tidal is introducing, although only on this $20 a month Hi-Fi Plus package, but Tidal is introducing basically artist bonuses. So if you are a Hi-Fi Plus subscriber, at the end of the month, whoever are the most streamed artists on your account will receive a little extra payment. And crucially, That's not going to come out of the royalty pot, the 70% approximately of the money which is already going to the music industry. That's going to come out of Tidal's cut. And so the artists who are most streamed will get a little extra bonus payment at the end of the month. So that was number one. And then number two is, as of next year, of the money going into the royalties pot, albeit only on the Hi-Fi Plus tier, that money is going to be distributed with a user-centric royalty distribution system. Now, we've talked about user-centric a lot on Setlist. We've written about it a lot in CMU, so we're not going to explain what user-centric is right now. But there are plenty of people in the artist community who have been arguing that a user-centric approach to distributing streaming money, rather than the current approach used to distribute streaming money, is fairer, and that's where we should be heading. And so, again, seen as another pro-artist, artist-friendly maneuver, the fact that Tidal are saying that on the higher level tier, they're going to go to user-centric. Now, as we know, Deezer have been trying to go for user-centric, particularly in France, for years now. And in order to shift over to a user-centric distribution, the service has to get all of the labels and distributors that they work with to agree to allow the money to be shared out that way. So how are Tidal going to do this if Deezer can't? Well, Tidal tell us that they've got over 100 of their licensing partners on board for this plan, including some majors, they say, although they didn't say which ones. So it might be that because this user-centric experiment is going to be confined to a relatively small subscriber base on the $20 a month package, that maybe some labels who, remember, back in the Economics of Streaming Inquiry in the UK Parliament, most labels said officially they are agnostic on whether we should shift to user-centric. They just want to see more data on what the impact would be. So maybe Tidal have managed to persuade the labels and distributors that just on this one little bit of their business, they should allow user-centric. It will be a useful little experiment, a useful pilot, and it allows Tidal, as part of this We're the Artist-Friendly Streaming Service narrative, to say, we're doing two great things for artists. We're going to pay bonuses to the most streamed act, and we're going to lead on this user-centric royalty distribution pilot on our Hi-Fi Plus package. So those, I guess, were the more interesting things that Tidal announced last week.
Yeah, so it remains to be seen what extent these changes would have to benefit middle-level artists. I mean, these direct payments to artists could end up mainly going to superstars who dominate the top end of streaming figures, although it should also help more niche artists who have really loyal fan bases. And, of course, the jury's still out on what impact user-centric would actually have on the monies that are distributed across the industry. But, well, like you say, this could end up just being a nice little test of all of that to see how it goes, see if it would actually be worth spreading across streaming services more widely, who it would benefit, who would possibly do less well. I think it's always worth remembering that I think most people who pay for a streaming service assume that the £10 or whatever, £20 in this case, that goes into that service goes to the artist they listen to. And so just making it so that that's happening is a positive step, even if it doesn't change things dramatically. Tidal hasn't actually said when it's launching this. It's said 2022 in a kind of vague way. So we'll see. It may be that they still need to get more people on board. But if they do have 100 partners on board, I think that's probably better than Deezer is doing. But yeah, it will be interesting to see when this launches and what comes of it.
Of course, if you wanted to be cynical,
oh no,
which we sometimes do on this podcast on occasion, you could say, what is the motives here of Tidal and the aforementioned Square, the financial services fintech company that now own Tidal? Is it that they just see an opportunity, particularly bearing in mind what Jay-Z used to say back in the day, to be, we're the artist-friendly service, and these are some issues that we've seen debated in the music community, so we will become popular with artists and then maybe by association with their fans? Or you could potentially think, well, if we look at it from a Square perspective, is Tidal now basically a way to sell financial services? Because, for example, these direct artist payments, there are various ways those payments may be made depending on the artist. They might actually go via an artist distributor in some cases, but they are also planning on paying some artists directly, maybe via PayPal or maybe via Square, their own fintech product. So is it a ruse to get artists using the Square technology? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And then it's interesting with the free service that you mentioned. So actually, I assumed when this was announced that, like Spotify Free, this was going to be an advertising-funded product. And actually, I wrote that in the CMU Daily. It turns out I was wrong. I got something wrong in the CMU Daily. I mean, that in itself is a big news story. Maybe we should have led with that because, you know, nearly 20 years we've been doing the Daily. I suppose it had to happen eventually because it's not ad-funded, supposedly. So Tidal got in touch to clarify and said there will be no adverts on the free service, but there will be
limited Tidal-led interruptions.
That is what you will get on the free service. Now, apparently,
I think adverts should be known as interruptions anyway.
Apparently, that's going to be something about educating listeners, but I don't know about what, about how streaming works, about how artists pursue careers, educating people about Tidal, educating people about Square's financial services and how great they are. I don't know. But
well, that would be an advert.
An interruption, a Tidal-led interruption, no less. Because, I mean, presumably Tidal are basically bankrolling the free service as a loss leader if they're not selling advertising Spotify style. So who knows? That was just my little cynical interlude about I wonder what's going on behind the scenes. But maybe it just is that Jack Dorsey, who runs Twitter, the social media platform that has so far refused to get any licenses from the music industry and pay any money to artists and songwriters, maybe he's actually the pro-artist guy and he just wants to give away all of Tidal's money to the artist on the platform. Who knows? It could be any of the above.
Anyway, that's all we've got time for on this edition of Setlist. If you want to find out more about anything we've discussed on this edition of the show, go to the show notes where you'll find links to everything. Those will either be in your podcast player now, or you'll find them at setlistpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the show if you haven't, rate the show if you haven't, review the show if you haven't, and email us if you're old. setlist@unlimitedmedia.co.uk. We are not going to be here next week. I'm afraid it's going to be a week off, but we will be back in 2 weeks with, you know, all the normal stuff. But that's it for this edition of the show. Setlist is the music business podcast from CMU. It's presented by Andy Moult and Chris Cook. And for more on CMU, go to completemusicupdates.com.
Talking about money is hard. People all over the world were taught never to talk about money, politics, sex, or religion in polite company. But on this show, my goal is to remove money from that list. And so I'm excited to bring you 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning from Blind Nil Audio and executive producers Chip and Joanna Gaines. Follow and listen to 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meaning with me, Carl Richards, wherever you get your podcasts.